Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. You're probably already there. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with his wife, Sarah, that you just heard. He's going to sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on JackieCation.com, the website. There are many ways to support the show. The Amazon link is one. You can use an Amazon link from JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com to go to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show. There is a straight-up donation button, PayPal or Venmo, to this email address that is mine, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can just donate to the show if you like the show a lot. I think PayPal has figured out a way to do a monthly. If you want to go monthly, please do. Other ways to support the show if you want to is you can buy merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts, and all the shirts are union made here in America, so they run a little big. Union Bayside, so if you want to look up their size chart. And then the other merch is my stand-up merch. On JackieCation.com, you can watch me do stand-up, you can look at my schedule, and the stand-up merch, a couple of different t-shirts, couple of different enamel pins, and all of my CDs and my DVD. If you want to live stream my DVD, it's over there at comedyfilmnerds.com. They have a live streaming capability, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD on my website. Oh, there are premium episodes at Bandcamp. TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com has probably 10 episodes that were done live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. If you've run out of regular episodes, go over to TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com and get some more. Other than that, I say this, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in my hotel room in Kansas City, Missouri, but we are actually in Kansas right now. We're in Overland Park, Kansas. Whatever, it's a great story. But I'm here with Ranger of the Dork Forest, who wanted to be on the show. Attainable goal, people. It's all about scheduling. It's the biggest pain in the ass. Beth Topper, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You were at the show last night.
Yes, yeah. I was.
And
yes, I was.
People can follow you on Twitter at Magenta Lady.
Yes.
All one word. M-A-G-E-N-T-A-L-A-D-Y.
Yes.
That's how I would spell it.
Yep.
All right. So you sent me the greatest list of dorkdoms that I liked. And as much as I love pit bulls, and we can talk about them,
okay.
I like the idea of, you were like, this is really boring. And I'm like, oh, but I will be fascinated to find out. I don't even know what it means. Color
right.
spectrum theory?
Well,
because you have photo finishing in color spectrum theory.
Yeah, I've worked in photo finishing for 20 years. So color is a big part of that.
Yeah.
But it's also...
Like dark room?
Originally, it was dark room and like optical processing, which old film.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing where, you know, there was a light bulb and you had to shine the film through to get
No, okay. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Back in the old times. Yes.
Yeah. When I first started, it was still optical, the film, the 35 millimeter film.
Okay.
Okay. So what you would have to do is you would have to shine a light bulb or a lamp, basically,
yeah.
underneath the film or above or beside. And what it would do is it would go through the film and expose onto a piece of paper. Okay.
Oh,
a piece of
that's
photographic
what
piece.
That's what developing is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're in a... Wait.
No,
allow me to backpedal to a very simple, simple place.
Sure.
You're in a dark room. Mm-hmm. There's a light that is either red or blue. I can't remember because you
red.
Can't see because it's very, very dark because you don't want to have light where there is film.
Right.
Because you need to expose it onto film paper so mm-hmm. that then it becomes a photograph.
Yes.
Why, first question, why does it not hurt it for it to be a different color light bulb?
It's still a very low wattage light bulb.
Okay.
Okay. So you're still just getting...
they're just trying to make you not bump into things?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
That's all it's trying to do is try to give you an idea of where everything is.
Okay.
You know, so you are not bumping into it.
Fair enough.
Some places will, some dark rooms have the glow-in-the-dark tape on things instead
oh.
of the red light bulb. If
oh,
it's small enough.
Yeah.
You know, because when they do, they turn the light on to see something. It'll
Oh, it'll charge.
It'll charge the tape.
The tape. And so it is also not super bright. So anything bright, if it were bright and a yellow light, a red light bulb, it would still screw up the film.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If it's anything, yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Okay. So what you're doing, you've got the actual tape, the film, whatever.
Roll.
Or old timey 35 millimeter that you'd put in a camera. Mm-hmm. You've got the film out. You shine a light through some portion of it with paper on the other side, and that reverses
the image.
Image and makes an image and a photograph.
A positive image.
Yeah. And here's the other question I've always wanted to know about such a thing, which is why does the negative not get used up?
Because the negative is actually made of plastic.
Okay.
Okay, it's got it's plastic, and then it's got chemicals on it. So when it's in the camera, what the camera does is it opens the shutter in the camera and it exposes whatever you're taking a picture of.
Okay.
Okay. And then once you get done with the roll or whatever kind of film you're using, you have to develop that.
Right.
Okay. So what the developing does is it takes off layers of the chemicals.
Of that chemical.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. To develop your image.
Which is why negatives can get used up, because after a certain number of uses.
Mm-hmm.
How many uses, I wonder?
Well, you can't reuse... Once a piece of film has been developed, you can't reuse it.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
You can't reuse the negative?
No. No.
Well, then why do people keep negatives from old-timey days?
So you can reprint things after the fact. You know what I mean?
Oh, you can't reuse it as film.
No,
you
no,
can
no.
reprint it
oh,
as...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that makes perfect sense, because
I was like, wait a minute, is she trying to reuse
film? No, I'm not trying to reuse the film, I'm trying to reprint the image.
Reprint the image, yeah.
There we go. I was like, no, I don't think it's just one and done. Okay.
I started out in a black and white darkroom.
Okay.
Okay, in college, and that was how I kind of started, was developing black and white paper.
Is that easier than color?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Because you're only dealing with black and white and the shades of gray that come with it.
Okay.
There's a whole different set of chemicals. There's a whole different process that you have to go through to use color film in a dark room.
Okay.
When I first started working in the photo finishing industry, we had machines that basically took the roll of film and it slid it into place, and then it was in a regular room.
Oh, it was automated.
Yes.
So greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And then and the machine was so enclosed that it was dark inside the machine.
It was dark inside the machine.
Okay.
Yep. So that was a lot easier to deal with. So
right.
And then from there, the film or the paper will go into tanks.
Yeah.
Of chemistry.
Okay. Okay. Of different chemicals. A wash.
Mm-hmm.
If I've seen movies correctly.
Right. Yeah. It starts out with the developer, which is it's an acid, and again, it takes off the layers of chemistry to create the image.
Okay.
Okay. And then the next one is a base, and it kind of stops that process.
Oh.
Okay.
Wait. So the light goes through the negative.
Mm-hmm.
The positive image is imprinted onto a piece of special paper.
Yes.
Photo paper. That has
light
its own...
Light sensitive.
That has its own chemicals on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You put that piece of paper into a wash, an acid wash.
Yes.
That removes those chemicals.
In layers. Right.
And then you take it out at a different... I suppose if you let it in longer, it would do more things.
Right.
Because the next wash you put in stops that process.
Yes. Huh. So you can leave it in there too long and you wind up basically with, you know, a dark brown, you know, or dark piece of paper.
Okay.
And that's what happens if you open it up a piece of photo paper in a bright room.
Okay.
Or, you know, if there's a light.
You expose if you open up the back of the camera and it was still unrolling, you will ruin the film.
You'll ruin the film. But also, if you open, like the machine I was telling you about, if you open the light tight part of that machine, it will expose that paper. And when it goes through the chemistry, it'll be black when it comes out the other side because it's basically, the light has taken everything off of there.
Okay, because the light itself will remove those chemicals. Okay.
Once it goes into the baths, yeah.
Okay. So, and here's another very basic question about those baths. What kind of paper is it that it doesn't just fall apart? Because you're making wet paper.
Right.
And then it's, you hang it.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a they call it RC paper, which is resin coated.
Okay.
So what it is it's kind of got, you can almost feel it. It's got a little bit of like a plastic feel to it. Mm-hmm. The new paper, the latest generation of paper.
Yeah.
Originally back a million and a half years ago when this all started, it was paper.
Okay. And so you had to be super careful.
You had to be super careful with it, yeah.
And now it's just stronger.
It's stronger paper. It's meant to hold up throughout, you know.
The whole process.
Throughout the whole process.
How many baths are there?
There are at least two, and then there's wash bath after that. The wash baths are just water.
Okay.
Or water and a little bit of, like, it's called stabilizer.
Okay.
But it's basically just like a wash with a little bit of chemical soap.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's got a little bit of a...
just to wash off whatever
exactly
might...
Exactly. Without leaving streaks on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, a little Windex.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Possibly vinegar, but probably
not.
Yeah,
something right. Like that. I mean, they've used all kinds of stuff.
Okay,
stuff that you're not supposed to use anymore.
Oh, really? Because it's toxic? Or
When I first started in the industry, they were still using formaldehyde in the wash baths.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds dangerous. Yeah. I don't know anything about formaldehyde. What is formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde is the stuff that they used to use to embalm people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
are they not doing that anymore either?
No.
Are we done with formaldehyde as a people?
Yes, I think so. the EPA has pretty much, you know...
decided...
they're not going to do
anything.
Yeah, exactly. We're not doing that anymore. So...
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Here it is. It's Rangers. It's an ad for Native Deodorant. If you go to nativedeodorant.com and enter in the code DORK, you get 20% off your first order. Native Deodorant, it's a natural deodorant that is made without aluminum, without parabens, and they use ingredients found in nature, like coconut oil or shea butter. Shea butter? I've seen it written only. And tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. So deodorant and antiperspirant a little bit, right? So all the ingredients are sourced from around the world, but they're thoughtfully sourced, right? So, and there's no animal testing, there's free shipping and returns, and then it's all assembled and made in the United States. They're simple ingredients. I got the lavender deodorant because I love lavender. It's supposed to be very calming, and quite honestly, I could use it. Right now, there's no aluminum, and aluminum may be linked with some serious health ramifications, including breast cancer and Alzheimer's. It comes in a wide variety of scents for men and women. Plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. They also offer an unscented formula and baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. There's coconut and vanilla. There's lavender and rose. I got the lavender and rose. It smells great. Cucumber and mint, that, and eucalyptus and mint. Eucalyptus and mint sounds like it would, caffeinate me. No risk to try. You offer free returns and exchanges in the United States. You can subscribe and save 17%. You save $2 per stick and have Native delivered to your door every 1, 2, 3, or 4 months, depending how often you go through a stick of deodorant. I've been using this one for about 2 weeks, and I really like how it smells. So if you go to nativedeodorant.com, put in the code DORK, you get 20% off your first order. Let's get back into the show. Is there also cyanide? Was there also cyanide at some point?
I don't...
In the development of...
There might have been at one time.
Because I think I read a book about the someone killed somebody with cyanide that they had gotten because of photo finishing.
Really?
Yes. Now,
It might be a little bit of literary license.
Yes.
But then...
And we know that I will read anything. So some of the people writing these things are really willing to take some literary license.
Yes, definitely.
But you would be surprised at the amount of research that's gone into some seriously mediocre writing.
Oh, I don't doubt. Because they think that they're all writing the great American novel.
Well, and maybe they're really good at research.
Very true.
And not great at Oxford commas.
Yeah, that's true.
It could be that. that's their strong suit.
Exactly. And they should have been an English teacher, not a novelist.
Right. Because sometimes I have read, you know, in the last couple of years, I've read so many romance novels. Mm-hmm. And I keep some of them because some of them are actually well written and they are very sweet, or they have like, they're, you know, nice tear jerkers or something that I thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're so poorly written that I will finish reading them and I will throw them in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that could be true of anything.
I
have never kept a Zane Grey novel in my life. I've read a lot of them.
Yep.
Because I liked Westerns at one point.
Right.
And I've kept many Louis L'Amour novels.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not keep any of the Zane Grey novels because they're terrible.
The Zane Grey ones are the library ones. You get them from the library and then you bring them back.
You bring them back for sure. Because who doesn't want to see... Here's the thing about Zane Grey. Zane Grey described... the landscape,
mm-hmm.
ad nauseum.
Yeah.
What's his name? Louis L'Amour did much better character work.
Right.
And the characters were not, like, there was probably six
mm-hmm.
in all of his 60 books.
Right.
There was the lone guy who helped people.
Right.
And there was a variation on that. And then there was some noble ladies.
Right,
who were tough, but they were also very sweet.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Anyway, so there's...
And at that point, you know, you could do that where you had... you had the archetype or the stereotype.
Right.
And it could
still exists.
The names change, but the story stays the same.
Right. Yes. the names change, but the story and the characters stay the same.
Exactly.
But it's a story I like.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like Star Wars?
It's a happy ending.
It's a happy ending, which is what I'm usually reading a book
which
for.
Which is what you look for,
mm-hmm.
you know, uh-huh. is escapism.
It's true. So now we have touched briefly on photo finishing. What is color spectrum theory?
A million years on photo finishing.
Well, and we will probably get back into it. Yeah.
Color spectrum theory, there's a color wheel. Okay, which basically has all the primary colors and all the secondary colors on it.
Okay.
So primary colors are red, blue, and green.
Right.
Okay, which is the RGB.
Right, that's it.
So anything...
Roy G. Biv,
yeah.
Okay.
So that's red, green... No, I'm sorry. Red, yellow, RG... I can't remember. I'd have to write that down.
I is like...
Indigo.
Indigo. And which is V is violet?
Violet.
Okay.
Because indigo is more of a rich blue.
Okay.
Okay. That's got a little bit of that kind of almost violet undertone. Okay.
Okay.
And then there's violet, which is the violet, it's the vibrant color that you're kind of thinking of.
Okay.
When you think of, you know, if you like kind of think of purpley.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's any of those streams of purple have violet in them.
Interesting. Okay.
So.
So the color wheel, though, mm-hmm. is RGB.
It starts out with RGB.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there are, on the other side of the wheel, there's the opposite pole of that, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Okay. So the red, the opposite of red is cyan.
Okay, which is a bluish?
Which is a light bluish color.
Okay.
It's like kind of a blue-greenish color.
Oh, it's got a little green undertones?
A little bit,
cyan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then the
opposite... I only know this because of printer cartridges.
Exactly. And that's kind of... That's where
it came from.
Exactly. That's where a lot of people... It starts.
Yeah. So red, it's opposite of cyan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The opposite of... B, the blue,
yeah,
is yellow.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And then the opposite of green is magenta, which is kind of that pinky.
Yeah,
purple-y. It's a darky, pinky, purpley color.
Okay.
So, hence the magenta lady.
Hence magenta lady, you guys. I'm here with Beth Topper. So
that's where, and then from there, from those, everything else kind of goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can get any color from there.
Oh,
from those.
Really?
Yes.
By mixing those six colors.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing a lot of graphic work.
Yeah.
They actually use CMYK. Which is the cyan,
yellow,
magenta, and then black.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I don't understand where the came from.
Well, whatever happens.
Yeah, exactly. So And I'm gonna get messages on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure somebody would be like, "Well,
guess what? Everything that you have said is
my favorite part of the Dork Forest, though. Is exactly. Is the seven paragraph? Mm-hmm. No, this was a great episode, but I will tell you that the history of Black and the K is because of a guy named Kelly. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, good to know.
That works
because I actually am interested. Yeah. I'm really hoping that this cord makes it all the way to my coffee. 1 second, please.
Sure.
It's not going to.
No, it's not. Because you have to have coffee or water when you're doing something like this.
Like a beverage.
Yes. Because you get dry when you talk so much like this.
You get dry, you guys. Mm-hmm. If I named the Dork Forest episode, I would call it You Get Dry.
That may wind up being the name of a Jackie and Lori show.
Exactly. You get dry.
You get dry.
Anyway. So, color spectrum and theory. Mm-hmm. So what's the theory?
The theory is that...
we have the spectrum.
Right. You have the spectrum. Theory is that you can use colors to... affect mood, okay, to affect advertising, to affect
feng shui.
Exactly.
But advertising is the capitalist version of feng shui.
Exactly.
Right. You can make fun of feng shui all you want, but you can't make fun of advertising because they will sell you shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. the way that it also works is there's warm colors, mm-hmm. which is the red, the orange, the yellow, that kind of thing. And then there's cooler colors, which is blue, green, you know, that cyan color.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll notice that a lot of advertising is bright, warm colors. If they're, if it's exciting, they want to create excitement.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Now, what's the difference between this and primary colors?
Because
primary colors are primary, right?
Right, right.
And then this is a color spectrum.
This is color. This wheel, is a color wheel. Yeah,
which is more of a graphic design term.
Mm-hmm.
What are primary colors? Is that a kindergarten term? What's
kind
happening?
Kind of. It's more of, it's a way to classify those colors down to a smaller. Okay. You know, a little bit more understandable.
To simplify.
Exactly.
It, right. Okay.
But that's pretty much where everything comes from. Is that. Primary color.
Okay.
Which is red, yellow, and blue.
Right.
Right? Red, yellow, blue. Yeah.
Red and blue for sure.
I think it's yellow.
And yellow might be...
What happens is, if you're doing like paint mm-hmm. or something like that, like when you mix, like artists.
Yeah.
When you're mixing paint.
Yeah.
You start out with those colors, those three colors, and you create anything from those three colors.
Right.
So everything is the basis in primary colors. Okay.
Would you like to see the hotel art?
Sure.
I don't even know what the hell is happening there.
I have no idea. It's like they took leaves and just threw them up onto the canvas.
Oh, interesting. Maybe. They did.
Yeah.
All right.
Who knows?
Check out my Instagram if you want to see what the hell we're talking about. It's the blue and brown one.
It's the blue and brown one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, okay. So primary colors are just like three colors.
There's three colors, yeah.
The color spectrum is the six mm-hmm. on a
and
wheel.
It's on a wheel.
And it's much more complicated and much more complex.
Yes.
So the theory behind is what you use those colors for?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If you're, depending on what you're wanting to use... or what you're trying to do.
Right.
You know, you'll notice in hotels, a mm-hmm. lot of cooler colors are used.
Yeah.
Blues, greens, you know, it's meant to create a calming, inviting environment.
Okay, so warm is more exciting.
Warm is
cool
more exciting
is more
usually.
Soothing.
Yes, yes.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of, you'll see a lot of advertisements if they're doing like sale, sale, sale.
Yeah.
A lot of that is going to be in red or yellow or something like that.
More brighter.
Brighter. It's just, it's warmer. It's happier. It's, you know, it's more exciting.
Right. Are there people using these colors for evil?
Not offhand. Well, I guarantee you there probably are.
Right. I'm sure someone's using something for
evil. Yeah, well, everybody seems to use... they can find an evil use for everything.
Right, right. It was just like... So, yeah. And it can... And you don't really recognize that this is really what's happening.
Right.
Right? Because right. you just have well, the feelings.
It's a yeah, you have the feelings. It's not a conscious thing most of the time. Mm-hmm. It well, all the time.
Yeah.
To most people.
So I'm, do you I do graphic it. Design?
No, I actually I do photo finishing, which you, is different.
Right.
Graphic design is a lot of layout things, a lot of, you know, art, a lot of advertising,
yeah.
a lot of pretty much, you know, anything that you it's more visual, especially yeah. these days where everything kind of goes through a computer.
Right.
You know, I mean, artists obviously still use paint and all kinds of other mediums.
Right.
But anything that is advertising
yeah.
or even like mixed media things, mm-hmm. that's usually graphic design.
Okay.
So, and everything from posters to advertisements, again, to... Yeah. Engineering schematics,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
Okay,
to that's a very, very that's a different weeding off kind of thing.
Right. Well, but if they're using color spectrum theory in engineering,
well, it not so much in engineering, but more in design of, okay. you know, so like a design of a building.
Okay.
Or design, it's not so much the building schematics, the
you know, structure,
the structure. It's more of the design, the interior okay. design, the yeah. exterior design, that thing.
Interesting. Okay, so now I want to go back to the color photo finishing.
Okay.
Because that's clearly more, like, if there's, you do it by hand,
mm-hmm.
it's obviously much more complicated, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Especially with the color ones. The,
right.
The, yeah.
Because the black and white, it's because it's just gray, black,
mm-hmm.
the variations.
The variations are gray, yeah.
How do you do that? What would you say about the color photo finishing?
The color photo finishing, I didn't get into a whole lot the manual version
right.
of it because again, it is so complicated.
Right, and there's that machine.
Plus the machines, yeah, the machines have made it automated to the point where it's almost industrial.
Yeah,
for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So you have a lot more. Volume going through the machines.
Okay.
So that way you can print out a whole roll of film.
Yeah.
In a minute or two.
Does it affect sort of the subtlety of it? It must, right?
Not really, because the technology has gotten so good
that you can tweak.
That you can tweak, and that's what I do. That's actually what I do is
with the machine and the
machine
that
and
interfaces
computer.
Mm-hmm. With the chemicals.
It interfaces with the computer that, because what it does now is instead of that light bulb with the film going through
yeah.
it, everything is computerized.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it goes through is everything is computerized and there's a laser that exposes onto the paper.
Okay.
Okay.
The light that they're using is a laser. Like a laser, which is much more specific and
mm-hmm.
pinpointed
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yep.
Interesting.
So the images are sharper. Like, that was one of the things that I noticed immediately when everything switched over to digital, is that the images were a lot sharper.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, because you're not losing that, almost, for lack of a better term, generation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's going
because they say that the first time you print from a negative, it's the sharpest. And
right.
Then okay.
Anything, yeah.
So it loses.
Like, if you were to make a copy of a photograph.
Right.
When you print, if you make if you take a picture of a picture,
yeah,
it's not going to be as sharp
as the actual
original.
Okay.
So,
but with digital, every print should be exactly the same.
It should be what it has is it. The images will come to me.
Yeah.
Okay. At my desk.
You will be sitting at a desk.
I will be sitting at a desk
with a computer.
With a computer.
Okay.
Yep. The company that I work for is large enough that everything comes through their servers.
Okay.
Okay. So customers all over the country will send us pictures from their computers to our computers.
Okay.
And then the images will come to me.
Yeah.
At my desk. And what happens is I will look at the image and it will need to be adjusted.
In some way, shape, or form,
color-wise and density-wise. So that's light or dark.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, density is the darkness and lightness of
and,
the
you know contrast.
Contrast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dark, light, contrast.
Okay.
So, because cameras don't see they call these, they see colors very linearly.
Yeah.
For they don't do a lot of color adjustment. Our eyes color adjust automatically to different lights.
Okay.
A different kind of light. Okay. So if you're in sun, if you're in the sunlight and then you automatically or you immediately go into the shade,
yeah,
your eyes will adjust for that.
And they'll do it quicker than
they will do. Well, they will, they'll do it. Cameras won't do that. They're not that smart.
Okay.
They're not smart enough to adjust for that on the same level that our eyes will.
Right, right. But they are kind of getting better, though,
aren't
they?
They're getting better, yes.
Right.
They're getting much better.
But are they just, with a camera, it's 2D, right? So it's mm-hmm. just, it's, so they're registering images.
Right. So what happens is, like, different kind of light has different temperatures.
Oh, and okay, that's what they're taking pictures of?
That's where they're taking pictures. So if they're taking pictures in some place that's got fluorescent lighting,
yeah,
that's going to wind up being like greenish.
Because it's hot?
Because green, that's the basis for fluorescent is kind of a green look.
Oh, weird.
Okay. And then like incandescents or the new LED bulbs that are balanced.
Yeah.
They have more of that. They have more of a warmer. You know, if you go into the store and they have daylight bulbs and then they have cool white and then they have, you know, that kind of thing.
I have never been able to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Right. Daylight is going to be accurate. the warm bulbs are going to be, you're going to want, you use most in, you know, a home environment.
Daylight.
No, the soft whites or the daylights, okay? Depending on what you're wanting to do.
I always buy the soft whites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I like the word soft.
Right. You like the soft white. And then if you like the way it looks, you like the way it looks.
Hey, right.
Some people want daylight bulbs in their house. That's great. Some people only
want... And are daylight bulbs just brighter?
They're a little bit brighter.
Okay.
Yep. They're a little bit more... they're more balanced. I think they're a little bit more...
Even
truer,
or?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit truer to what you're seeing because it's meant to
mimic the outside.
The outside. We're both pointing out the window.
Right. Hey, you guys, it's light outside.
It's light outside,
and we're
yes.
both pointing there. And
just to let you know.
Interesting. And so what I... Okay, so you get the images, and then are you told... To either mess with it or not mess with it?
Sometimes.
Don't touch it.
Depending on the customer, sometimes they'll send it to us and they don't want any kind of correction to it whatsoever.
And what are you seeing? You're like, if it's an advertising photo, they've mm-hmm. sent you a photo of a car.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, the color came out a little off.
Right.
That's something you would do. You mm-hmm. would try to adjust that. Mm-hmm. Are you doing this in Photoshop? What are you doing this in?
It can be done. Most companies do it in Photoshop. The company that I use, Photoshop is the graphic design
side.
Most of the time of choice. Either that or Lightbox is the other one.
Is that another big software?
It's actually another part of Adobe. Which
Is it?
So, yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. So
Lightbox.
Yep. The company that I or the program I use was actually developed by Kodak.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's
a long
that
time
called?
Ago. It's called Digital Production
Sexy.
No. Digital Print Production.
Okay.
Okay. And we call it DP2.
DP2.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Have you done obviously you've worked with the others?
Mm-hmm.
Lightbox and
not so much Lightbox, just because I don't have it, that was not.
It's an Adobe Suite thing, mm-hmm. right?
It's an Adobe Suite thing, and it's more of on the level of professionals.
Okay.
Okay, so they use it other
right.
places.
When they send it to you and they're like, it's not the right color, how do they describe the color if they can't get a picture of the color that they want?
It's not so much they'll tell us what they. What it's supposed to be, it's more intuitive than that.
Okay.
Unless they color correct something themselves.
Right.
And then send it to us and they say, no, this is the color we want it to be.
Wait, because there are also on, I think in paint swatches, they have numbers.
Yes.
And so you, sometimes in Photoshop, you can just put the number of the color you want.
Yep.
And then supposedly, that would then coincide with the color that... With the paintbrush with that the paintbrush. Went onto
exactly.
the vehicle.
Exactly.
Interesting.
The one that's used the most on that is Pantone. And what Pantone does is Pantone has specific values for every color.
Right.
And what you can do is that's used in mass production a lot.
Okay.
So the t-shirt wearing to make sure that every single one in that that's coming off of that production line is the same.
Yeah.
If you've got a different roll of fabric, you want to make sure that it's all the same color.
Right.
So what you do is when you're creating the color, you put the number in and it comes out that color.
That color, because that would be the same mix every time.
Mm-hmm.
And those are Pantone numbers?
They're Pantone numbers, yeah.
I have a side anecdote about the word Pantone. Pantone is obviously this thing with the numbers and the colors.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Rogers, friend of the show, has been on the program a couple of times. He was an Imagineer for Disney.
Okay.
And so he's a Disney dork. And then he, I think, did some board game. And he makes board games.
Right.
Like he did something called Ray Guns and Rocket Ships that's quite fun. He just published a new game called Pantone.
Oh, wow.
That was... the Pantone company was like, could you make a game with color swatches?
Oh, wow.
And so
okay, I have to go look for
you
that.
You might need to get the game Pantone made by Scott Rogers.
Yes, I will be looking for that as soon as I get home.
There you go. And and I have not played it myself, but Andy has played it and says it is super fun.
Yeah.
So you will like that.
Yes, I will. And that's it's funny, most of the games that I have on my phone have something to do with color. I don't play a whole lot of... interactive games or anything like that. Most of the video games, a lot of the stuff is, like, I play Dots a lot.
What's Dots?
Dots is you basically have to match three.
Okay. Oh, it's a match three, the kind of like
match
Candy
two,
Crusher.
Match, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just not quite as,
bananas.
Candy Crush has kind of gotten to be... Like the old upright video games is very bright, it's very flashy.
Rare, bejeweled.
And there's a million different incarnations of it.
I play Marvel Puzzle Quest,
exactly.
Which is exactly that. Now you play a match two.
Mm-hmm. Match two, or if there's like a chain of them,
you can
loop the chain.
Oh, it's more of a draw on the thing to connect.
It's like
things.
It's like Bejeweled meets Snake.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Going
back
30 years.
Yeah. Who doesn't love Snake?
And you can still find Snake out on the internet,
too.
Oh,
Snake's there. It's boring still. Still
yes.
A terrible, terrible game.
Exactly. And you have to use your hand. You have to use the
keyboard?
The keyboard. You still have
Again,
to use the keyboard. I know.
Nostalgia isn't that strong.
No.
It's not strong enough for me to play games that I didn't like when they were first out.
Yeah. And it's the funniest thing because everything has changed so much.
Yeah.
In the last 30, 35 years, just in the game, from cell phones to to computers to the photo finishing.
Yeah, the technology is
even
jumping.
Even since I started in 1998,
right,
it has completely changed.
Yeah,
it's completely changed. The company that I worked for originally sold cameras.
Okay.
And the cameras, I remember getting our first digital cameras.
Okay,
when we first started selling digital cameras.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And
I think when the first digital camera I used was in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mine was 2004.
Yeah, 2003, 2004.
And it was probably either...
And the pixels weren't that...
No, it was probably either like a 3.2 pixel.
Yeah.
Or like a 1.4 or something like that.
Right, it was low.
Mm-hmm.
Because what are they now?
Anywhere between 10 and 15 and 20, and those are... Those are the,
The top of the lines.
I mean, most of
I just did a photography episode. The one, like, two before this was with Matt Oswalt. And I forgot to ask him what his pixels were because I'm so used to digital cameras
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
Because he's a photographer. And I was like, at one point, I did ask him if he used film or digital. And he was like, well, digital, obviously.
Right.
But
there are still holdouts
that
will not get digital cameras.
Right, but the pixels have changed a great deal.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because even on my phone, I think it's at least a 3.
No, actually, most of the time, I have a kind of a medium grade phone, and the camera on it is a 5 megapixel.
Okay.
So they're getting. I don't know what the newest iPhone one has. I want to say it's like an 8 or 10 megapixel.
Wow.
So it's meant to be, you know.
Yeah.
It's the cell
it's
phone cameras.
It's better than original digital cameras were.
Yes.
And so what are regular, like film, what was film pixel wise? Do we even know?
No, I don't know.
Because I don't know that they measured it like
that. No, they didn't measure it like that. Pixels is something completely different.
Because it's a tiny dot.
Because it's a tiny dot. It's like
on a computer screen.
Exactly. It's if you've ever looked at like an old television set, they had the little bars that were like different colors. If you were really, really looking at it.
Yeah.
If you got really close to it,
tubes would die,
you would
notice, and you could tell.
Yeah.
And now when the TVs go, you see the missing pixels.
Yes, exactly.
So
it's similar to that.
Yeah.
You know? And then you've got, I'm sure you probably have some of those somewhere, the old photographs from the mid 70s, late or early 80s turned pink.
Yeah, yeah. They get that shade on them. Yeah.
And it's because some of the chemistry has faded.
Okay.
Because some of the chemistry wasn't as good as, so what has happened
is... Just the quality of the person processing the film?
It was just the way the chemicals were.
Interactive.
Exactly. No, not even interactive. The chemicals at that point weren't as good.
Oh.
So at that point when you were like the first color paper, that kind of thing, everybody who grew up in the late 60s
like to 1855 when cameras were invented and people are producing, what are they doing? And this, I mean, this feels very specific, like like who knows if you know this. I certainly don't. All I know is that when I see those old pictures of like families who have had to sit there for a full minute while they wait for the exposure to really work. Did the chemicals not change for 100 years and then they changed exponentially, kind of like technology?
It's kind of like the technology had, jumped forward.
Right.
And it was.
There were probably a couple of jumps, but I mean.
Well, it was the big jump from black and white television to color television.
Yeah.
You know, so it was that, you know, all of a sudden you were getting pictures in real, you know, real color.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
People were amazed when, you know, they saw the Wizard of Oz for the first time in the color section of Wizard of Oz.
Right.
They were like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Well,
but they also had to warn people for years and years and years whenever they, whenever Wizard of Oz showed, they had a warning at the beginning of it saying, okay, at such and such a time in this movie, it's going
to
go from black and white to color.
3.5 to 5 minutes,
whatever it is. Yeah.
Which goes
your
from
image
Kansas
is going
into Oz.
Into Oz. Your picture is going to go from black and white to color.
Because of the shock?
Yep. Because people thought that there was something wrong with their television.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Oh, because the TV was... They're like, no, I have a color TV. Why is it in black and white?
Why is it in black and white? Is there something wrong with my
TV? And then all of a sudden, was there something wrong with it before? Because they had never seen The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had never seen The Wizard of Oz on television.
Right, but if they saw The Wizard of Oz in a movie theater, it would have been
in the color, yep. But because the technology in the televisions at first was only black and white, they couldn't show
the color. It wasn't really in color ever.
Right.
Because the first time they showed it, because Wizard of Oz came in 39?
30, five, something like that. Yeah.
And then when, and television common in the 50s, obviously, mm-hmm. right? And they were all black and white. What I'm doing is I'm repeating what you just said, but I'm saying it all out loud so that I know what the hell you just said.
you're saying it in.
I'm mansplaining.
What is it, like Captain Dummy speak or something like that?
I'm just reinventing the goddamn wheel. Here we go. It's they showed it on black and white television, but only in black and white because they only had black and white television. And so then when somebody bought, because I remember Happy Days, there was an episode of Happy Days where. They couldn't afford a color television, but they could afford this thing that they could put over their screen that had the top was blue and the bottom was green to make it look like sky and grass. And it was, and then they put it in upside down. It was a sight gag, you guys.
Right.
Anyway, so.
I don't remember that one. So. Well, but there was, even as late as the 80s. I remember there was an episode of Moonlighting. Bruce Willis, Sybil Shepherd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
sure.
That started out black in color, and then they went retro. They turned it into
some sort of noir. I remember that episode.
It went into black and white because they were in the 40s.
Right.
You know,
right.
And then it bopped back to.
I think they did that in Castle, too.
Yeah. I don't know. No, I think they left it in color because I tried to put it into black and white when I first watched that episode.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, because
emotionally or physically?
No, physically. Because I was like, okay, you know what? This is not supposed to be in color. This is supposed to be in black
and
white.
So you downloaded the episode. You put it into a program.
I actually think I have it. No, I didn't have it on CD. I had it on my DVR because I was watching it after the fact at that time.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I like the first three seasons of almost everything, and then there's trouble. Yep. Then it all falls apart.
Yeah, more girls. And that was pretty much.
Yeah,
that's pretty much. I think I watched the first four.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I'll usually last through one more season, and then go, "What just happened?"
Exactly.
We're all tired, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And
the characters become stereotypical.
Yeah,
they pick out one personality. Tweak or
and then they write to
and
that.
Then they write to that
yeah
you know the big one that I remember is Monica's cleaning fetish on Friends.
Oh yeah,
because it was mentioned every episode for million years
in the fifth to seventh season.
Exactly.
Yeah, it became you're just like, well, she should get some help at this
exactly
point.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah,
she needs
professional help.
Right. I did like was it a three episode, the What If, where Chandler, Monica never lost the weight. And remember that?
Yeah.
And it was...
Again, I think Friends was one of those ones where I watched it. I watched like the first five.
I only watched in syndication.
Uh-huh.
And it was a time when I was on the road so much that I would consume probably three or four episodes a day.
Uh-huh.
And I would come back to LA and talk to a friend of mine. And at one point I was talking about Friends so much, she was like, it's almost like they're your friends. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I have a friend who I work with, and she is going to be berserk because she's like, that's going to be wrong. That was that season.
Well, good for
you.
You
know what?
Everybody,
you know, everybody has that one television.
Everyone has a show that they enjoy a great deal. Mm-hmm. And
mine was MASH.
That's right. Yep, that was the other thing
that I mentioned.
I know. And that, if we weren't 42 minutes into this thing, we might go to MASH. We could go to MASH.
No, let's go back to color.
Okay, back to color. All right. So you have.
So what happens is I have this program on my computer at work, and I manipulate the color to a lab standard.
Okay, lab standard.
So a lab standard, basically it's three people on a picture, you know, in the picture.
Okay.
On a white background with, you know, white t-shirt, black t-shirt, gray t-shirt.
Okay.
And it's a white girl, a black guy, and an Asian guy.
Okay.
Okay. And they stare at me all day.
So
it's like, yes, exactly. So you can imagine somebody staring at you like, you know. Like a creeper from your
computer
all day long,
and that's sort of the screensaver on your.
That is up on the. We're supposed to match all the skin tones to one of those or to, like a similar. You know,
this cannot. This is going to be a racially charged.
No, not so much. It's just It's meant to be a guide. It's not meant to be...
Right, right. Everyone, you know, obviously, we're all different varying mm-hmm. degrees of pink and brown and mm-hmm. black and...
Yes.
And
as
color.
I'm very, very pale.
Right. Translucent.
Mm-hmm.
I
call it skim milk.
Nice.
Or dead turkey skin, one or the other.
Don't do dead turkey
no.
skin.
No, skim milk works.
Exactly. Seems much more flattering.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nope.
Because it's almost translucent and yeah. with a blue tint. It's so that's skim milk.
Which a nice blue mm-hmm. undertone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I have a tiny amount of olive undertone.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my family, much darker Armenian mm-hmm. kind of. I got all the Irish.
You got all the Irish.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all
the,
Irish.
It's pretty Irish. Mm-hmm. And so, but the... So literally those are the colors you're supposed to match. The
very
t-shirt colors, the clothes colors, the skin tone.
Yep, making sure that any black picture in the picture.
Yeah.
T-shirts, uniforms, anything like that.
Is this sort of true black of that shirt?
Is true black, so there's not a color cast to the black shirt or the white background.
Right.
Or
kind of just a standardization to make sure.
Yep. Right now,
so
we're doing a lot.
So people know what they're getting,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. There are a lot of, right now, we're doing a lot of dance recital pictures. So, yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just come in off the, because stuff that comes into work mm-hmm. is whatever.
It's all professional photography.
So, okay. So they clearly took pictures of some dance recitals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we would like these. And so do you have
we
to
like
color?
These print. Yeah, we color correct.
And they're for publication, or are they?
They're for consumers.
For consumers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people want them to be nice.
Exactly. The professionals will go to the recitals, take the pictures, and then the
Did
customers
I show
will...
you the pictures of me? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
but
okay.
The Viking pictures?
I've seen those.
You've
yes.
seen them on Instagram or
yeah,
something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're
yep.
hilarious. Anyway.
But say you wanted a hard copy of that for somewhere,
uh-huh.
you know, that's what you would call the photographer and say, hey, I want to get an 8x10 of this.
Right. I went to a Walgreens.
Exactly. Same thing.
And,
same thing. Because they'll give you a disc that has it on there.
Right.
So, excuse me. So, we do a lot of work that's things like that.
But full on professional,
mm-hmm.
like someone's hired them to do headshots and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Seniors,
okay.
weddings.
Okay.
A lot of school sports, schools, yearbooks, that kind of thing.
Right.
So a lot of customers that do yearbook pictures.
Okay.
So a lot of people that do community sports pictures.
I will say this. The Viking portrait studio that Andy and I went to in Reykjavik was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the old-timey cowboy pictures that we went to in Deadwood
mm-hmm.
were terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. And entirely, Andy has a theory about the Iceland guy
mm-hmm.
that he had heard about the cowboy pictures
and said, "Yeah,
and
we need to make
didn't
these
know that he could do them poorly,
right?
And so he did them well,
right?
The cowboy pictures I have seen them done well,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part they're kind of overexposed,
yes,
and they're washed out and they don't have they oh. don't they just they're just plain black and white pictures.
Yep, and they don't have a whole lot of contrast to them."
That's
They're very
it.
Very flat.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. if, like, if I were to give you, like, I have a picture of me dressed as a as a marshal,
mm-hmm.
And Andy's pretending to run away,
mm-hmm.
And it's pretty washed out. Could mm-hmm. you fix it?
Yes. It could be.
That's interesting.
Yep. It could be scanned in, or if you have the disc,
right?
It could be. It could be made a little bit better.
A
little bit better. If
just because the original isn't that
mm-hmm.
great.
Right. If the information is not in the picture,
makes
you can't create it.
Right. You
so
can't.
If there's a pixel that's missing,
yeah.
that's missing. You know,
well, that's
you can't.
Interesting because I did take, there's a picture of my dad when mm-hmm. he was about 14. He liked bodybuilding. And
mm-hmm.
so he greased himself up when he was 14. And there's a hilarious photo of my father flexing.
Uh-huh.
And he has tiny legs.
Mm-hmm.
He has chicken legs, but he's all muscular on top. And he's wearing like black swim trunks.
Uh-huh.
And the photo itself was trashed.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it to a very beautiful photography store
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles.
Right.
And I was like, is there anything you can do? And he goes, of course, I could fix this. And he created
mm-hmm.
this amazing, and he fixed that, and he
mm-hmm.
fixed a picture. I don't know that I had the original of my great uncle Haji, but there was, there were a couple of pictures where he did create pixels
mm-hmm.
out of nothing.
Well, that's, you can do that if you that's a Photoshop thing.
Okay.
You have a little bit more.
But essentially, you're just sort of creating you're more graphic designing.
Well, yeah, it's more graphic design. It's restoration.
Yeah.
It's a restoration thing as opposed to like a graphic design thing.
Okay.
So, but they, you know, they are kind of intermingled.
Right. Very, very much so. It felt, mm-hmm. I mean, it felt like.
It's almost magic.
It feels
like magic. Sometimes right. if you're looking at it and you have this picture.
It still looks like a photo. I mean, it looks like the right. original photograph.
Right.
What I believe would have been.
What the. A lot of people that have flood damage, fire damage, that kind of thing, they have photographs that are missing that only one family member has, and yeah. they want copies of it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So that's stuff that we scanned into a computer.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
And then they would create somebody who...
Oh, this same place took all the our slides mm-hmm. and put them on discs.
And put them on discs.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they adjusted or not created, but... manipulated it to the point where it was more visible or more
sort of enhanced the contrast or whatever
the contrast, the color. But then also, if there's damage, they can they can't create it exactly, but they can kind of figure out what it was supposed to be.
Right.
You know.
So there is a little bit of fictional.
There is a little bit of fictional to it,
but they're doing
depending on how.
And if they're really good at it,
yes.
I mean, it's sort of like writing.
Yep. There are people that are amazing at it. I do not have that skill.
Right. But I mean, I think that would probably be a very rare skill
mm-hmm.
and, or just not rare, but I mean like spectrum-y, there's linear, like
yes.
people that are like just incredibly gifted at it mm-hmm. and have this intuitive talent.
Yes.
And then people who can do it.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like this great.
Right. It's yeah. not, it's not. As quite as good. Yeah, exactly. And that's where I am on that spectrum.
Yeah, right. So. Right. You're just good at it. You're not
okay at it.
Okay.
If you want something color adjusted, you come to me.
Okay.
You want paint mixed correctly,
right.
you come to me. You know, that kind of thing. So.
Okay, because you have a good eye for
uh-huh.
color.
I have a good eye for color. Yes.
And that's, what does that mean, a good eye for color?
It means that...
You can see something and recreate it?
Yep.
Okay.
I used to work for a paint store.
Okay.
So that was one of the things that people would do is they would bring in a piece of...
Just a chip off the wall?
A chip off the wall, a piece of... I swear to you.
Wow.
A piece off of a baseboard or a piece of molding or a piece of trim.
Right.
I had people bring in pillows or
okay.
fabric that we would have to try to match.
Yeah.
Stain. We would have to match stain.
Wow.
You know, stain was...
How do you match stain? That's like a brownish...
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different tints that you can use.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, different kind of colors that you can add to it.
Right.
To adjust those. So, I wound up doing that for a little while, too.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy
so
that.
So you have been working with color almost your entire
almost my
career.
Entire yep.
Yeah.
My entire career.
Your entire career has
yep.
been some version of color. And
yep. Yep.
That's so, fascinating.
And what I really like to do is help people match color.
Oh.
Like go into their house and, you know, if they want to redo a room.
Yeah.
Say, okay, you know, what do you want to do with this room?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have this comforter that you really like in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You can take a piece of that color, and instead of just going white or tan or beige or whatever, you can create a feeling with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's more of a...
Well, because we have these quilts
mm-hmm.
that Lisa Allard, a quilting dork, actually, Andy had a couple of great... his great-aunt's quilt, and
mm-hmm.
We asked if she would actually quilt them because there was just the quilt cover
mm-hmm.
and that she had put together.
Right.
And so that they are many, they're very beautiful. She did mm-hmm. an amazing job. But the colors off of that, you know, you kind of, I don't know how to put the room. You can do that.
Where
you can
do
put
that,
the whole room together.
Put the whole room together.
And what yep. what that is supposed to evoke,
mm-hmm.
right? Emotionally
mm-hmm.
or.
If you're wanting to have a nice, calm bedroom
mm-hmm.
and, you know, create a feeling, a space, you know,
right,
a
that's
theme.
Productive or,
mm-hmm.
or
a
just.
Theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I enjoy doing that a good deal.
Oh, that's cool.
And so far I've only done it for friends.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah. But you would
love
be,
to, I would love to get into that.
You need more friends. You exactly, need more people who exactly, want in on so. It. I don't know if you guys know this, but Beth Tapper is available if you live in the Kansas City area.
Yep.
At Magenta Lady.
At Magenta
send her,
Lady.
Send her a photo.
Exactly. Yep. Well, yeah, I can definitely give you some information on.
Right. You'll at least give them your mm-hmm. opinion.
Yep.
And then you're like, take it or leave it.
Yep.
But this exactly. is a really cool room. You mm-hmm. could do this. You could do that.
Yep.
That's kind of fascinating.
Yeah. That's, I would love to get into that and do that full time.
So. Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, it would.
You know that I hated our kitchen floor and Andy kept saying that we were going to redo the kitchen floor. And then he discovered this. The flooring that they have in like Target mm-hmm. or Walmart or whatever, mm-hmm. that plasticky linoleum-y right. kind of whatever it is, you can get that in any color
mm-hmm.
and they will cut it into any shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so he designed our kitchen floor.
And then just went to...
And then hired people to mm-hmm. cut it and lay it.
Lay it.
Yeah. And the colors that he picked, because I just told him that I wanted primary colors mm-hmm. because I liked how... in a Doris Day movie called Pillow Talk,
mm-hmm.
all of the colors in her house
mm-hmm.
are these sort of very vibrant,
right?
More the Roy,
right, right, of, right. They're more warmer colors.
Yeah,
They were very vibrant. It was a very
it popped.
Yes,
a lot,
exactly.
But and he has a good eye for color, mm-hmm. and he has a and he's art guy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of him as more...
Well, you have to be if you design...
Right, he's a design guy.
A design guy.
Yeah, so... but it was really cool. But he used both blue and red.
Mm-hmm.
Like the border mm-hmm. is red.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's blue and yellow diamonds all mm-hmm. over it. And it's...
Right.
So I don't know what... Because the blue is cooler, but mm-hmm. the yellow and the red...
Are warmer.
Are yeah. warmer.
And what's funny is, what'll blow your mind, mm-hmm. is that there are warmer greens and warmer blues and then cooler reds and cooler greens and cooler yellows.
Because it gets super subtle at
because
that level?
You can add more green.
Mm-hmm.
You can add more yellow to a blue and it'll... kind of, it'll shift it a little bit. It won't turn it into green quite
okay.
at that point, but
right.
It'll shift it a
and
little bit.
And you won't even, of course, notice,
mm-hmm.
but it will affect.
Well, if you've gone into a paint store, you mm-hmm. have that gigantic wall of chips.
Yep.
Yeah. you'll see where it goes from one color to the next, and there's variations of those. You know,
oh,
all
right.
the colors.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then, it'll usually starts off on red and then it'll go to the neutral colors.
Right. I usually can't tell the difference between
right.
one to the next.
Right.
And you'd have to have your sort of sensibility because
mm-hmm.
you can see.
Well, most people, there's a statistic that men see color worse than women.
Okay.
Okay. But a lot of people
and then there's
have
full on color blindness.
Color blindness is never you get monochrome.
Okay.
It's just, you have, it's color deficiency. So there are people that say they're colorblind, but they see blues and greens and
they
violets.
Just don't.
They don't pick up the warmer colors or they don't pick up the cooler colors.
It's hard to play board games with Chris Mancini of Comedy Film Nerds because mm-hmm. he has some colorblindness.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, you have to give me a very bright
yeah, exactly.
piece, mm-hmm. or I will move your piece.
Yep, because women do see color better than men.
Okay.
One in every 254 women has some kind of color deficiency.
Okay.
Noticeable color deficiency.
Yeah.
And then one in every 12 men.
Really?
Yes. So you see more color blindness in men.
Now.
Which is why you go into a paint store and the men are like, oh, I don't care.
Oh, interesting.
They're not whatever she wants to do.
So that stereotype is where that comes from.
Yes.
Because they're just not even seeing it. Because
right.
more men have...
Yeah.
Interesting.
I couldn't tell you how many times I dealt with that. Well, you know...
Even, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it kind of does.
It matters because you're living with other people.
It still has to be a color that you like.
Right.
You know, if she picks out a purple and all you can see is pink, you're going to be living in a pink house.
Right. And then that will irritate you.
Yes.
If you don't want a pink house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So that kind of thing.
Now, let us introduce very quickly at minute 59. Are dogs colorblind? Do I remember that?
Dogs have color deficiencies.
Okay.
The
correct term is color deficiency, yeah. And I can't keep saying it wrong.
No, that's okay.
Okay, but they see shades of black and white?
They'll see shades of black and white. They see colors. Some dogs see yellows and reds better.
Okay.
I think it is mostly yellows and reds for all dogs. Right. A lot of you'll see a lot of toys, mm-hmm. a lot of dog toys are primary colors.
Oh, because they see those.
Yeah. My dog, mm-hmm. I have this long rope toy that is red and yellow, and it is his favorite thing in the world.
Right.
You know, and it's...
We were going to talk pit bulls.
We were going to talk pit bulls.
With Beth Topper.
Yeah.
At Magenta Lady. But we are at an hour. You say, what's the name of your dog?
His name is Max.
Max?
Yep.
He's a real nice dog?
Yes. he is a complete goofball.
He's such a big... Did you have him from a puppy or did you get him from the pound or something?
I got him from one of the animal rescues in town.
Nice.
So, yeah. And he is just a goofball. He does something to make me laugh every single day.
Well, that is why you get a dog, mm-hmm. so that you can laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Tabbert, thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's at Magenta Lady on Twitter, and it's Beth Tabbert. She's on the Ranger page on the Dork Forest on Facebook. If you guys ever want to join the Ranger page on the Dork Forest, you're welcome. There's hundreds of us.
Mm-hmm.
Knock yourselves out.
Yep.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?